I want you to open your Bible to the Old Testament tonight. We're going to move over into 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to speak a little bit on a thought that God laid on my heart here. The danger of a self-inflicted wound. Self-inflicted wound. Other night, we had Brother Mullins, a missionary out of our church down in Chile, and he preached to us. And there was a part of his sermon where he reminded us of the story where Nathan the prophet had to come to King David after David's sin and say to him, "Thou art the man." And I want you to pick up there with me in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. "And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man.' Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that were been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit," and I'm going to stop there just a second. We see some examples of grace, even though the Old Testament we normally think of are being under the law. David's sin called for the penalty of death. But Nathan the prophet said, "God has put away your sin." And he spared David. But then he says in verse 14, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." Now you get my thought here just a little bit. David violated the seventh commandment. He violated everything with God. You may have the story goes. He wounded himself. He should have been on the battlefield with his troops. He was at home. He was looking. He wound up lusting and finally taking and finally committing adultery and finally, of course, killing the husband Uriah. Now the prophet Nathan here is telling him of God's punishment. I want to say to you, even though you're forgiven by grace and you can be saved by grace, saved from the dirtiest of all sins, sin still leaves a scar. And David had to face that scar. He still had to reap. And as God told him, he would reap in his own family. And I want to apply this just a little bit tonight in some areas to our day. There's a real cost. When you go against God, break his word, fall into sin, and get under his judgment, there's a cost. There's a cost to David's family. Not just to David himself, but to David's family. The baby died to start with here, remember? And then his sons and his daughters. I mean, you find one son by the name of Ammon forcing and doing wrong and committing sin against his half-sister Tamar, and you find out that it ruined Ammon's life, because you find out there where Absalom would not forgive him and set a trap for him and killed him. Can you imagine the whole family, one brother killing another? And all the sister being violated and all of that, and it ruined their future. Listen, sin always has a wage to be paid. It always has a price tag on it. Always does. And we look here and we see in David's self himself. You remember how Absalom raised up a conspiracy and came in to take the kingdom, and David had to flee for his life, so to speak, out of the back door. And here you have the great king of Israel, one after God's own heart. You have him leaving and going out across the hills, as it was, to run and to hide from his own son. And as he did so, you find out here's the king. And as he's trying to get away, and he's got some of his bodyguard, his mighty men around him and all of that, you have a fellow by the name of Shimei. Shimei was of the house of Saul. And he began to mock David and call him a bloody man, curse David, throw dust and rocks at David. And the mighty man said, let me take his head off. This dog shouldn't have the right to curse you, king. But you know what David said? He said, leave him alone. Maybe I deserve this. Maybe God has used him. I mean, David had lost his own self-esteem. He was humbling himself. He was hurting. He was wounded on the inside. My very son is trying to take the kingdom away from me. Don't worry about this fellow cursing me. Leave him alone. Maybe God is letting him do this. And David was humiliated by this fellow Shimei that cursed him. And yet he let him get by with it. We read through the story, and I'm going to just touch a high spot or two on it tonight. But the verse here said, Nathan said to him, you've given great occasion to the enemies of God. Let me tell you something, Christian. When we blow our testimony, we give great occasion to the enemies of God to mock, to ridicule. And somebody said, no big tree in the forest falls by itself. When it falls, it takes the little ones down with it. And a big tree, we say the daddy of a family, he can fall, but he takes the little ones with him. There's a pain, there's a cost, there's a price. There's a price to pay, no doubt about it. But you know, this thing gave an occasion to the enemies. It gave a chance, for instance, to a man named Ahithophel. You remember who Ahithophel was? He was David's right-hand man. He was his counselor. He was the one that gave him good advice. And the scripture says that Ahithophel's counseling, his wisdom that he gave to David was all, like it was from the Lord himself. And yet Ahithophel turned on David. That's been a puzzle to a lot of Bible students for years as to why Ahithophel turned on King David. But if you check the scripture real close, there's something real interesting about that. If you will go over with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. See if I can find it over here. And you'll find out something about Ahithophel that's quite interesting. Ahithophel had a son. And that son's name was Eliam. E-L-I-A-M. Eliam. And do you know that this son of Ahithophel had a daughter, which would make that daughter Ahithophel's granddaughter? And her name was Bathsheba. Right? Now here's what happened. David probably didn't know that. But you see, things are all connected. And festering in Ahithophel's heart for a long time was what David had done. His granddaughter. And all of a sudden, when Absalom comes in to take the kingdom from David, you find out this is Ahithophel's chance to get revenge on David. Long festering in his heart was what his king had done. And we think about that a little bit. Now, the enemies of the kingdom had great occasion. I'm talking about all the heathen races around about, no doubt about that. But also even a close, supposedly friend, counselor on the cabinet in the kingdom of David, Ahithophel had been hurt so deep, wounded on the inside, and now his chance to strike back at David. And he does. And so he gives counsel against David. He turns on him. Now God gets rid of his counsel and helps David to survive it. I won't go into all the details on that, but let me just say this. We can apply this self-wounding in a lot of areas tonight. We can apply it to our own nation. Our own nation is reaping some self-wounding that we have done. Our enemies right now, I've got in my Bible right here some papers. I can't take time to read it all, but Iran, Russia, China, Turkey celebrate the collapse of the U.S. And if you went through here, they're bragging and happy that America's in trouble. They say we're crumbling. They say we're falling. They're claiming we are an unjust nation. Now, brother, you talk about the pot calling the kettle black. This crowd, butchered them by the millions, communist countries, but they're mocking us. We've given great occasion to our enemies to mock us to some degree. Turkey and others involved. By the way, that's exactly the alignment of nations that you read about in Ezekiel lining up for the end time, Third World War, if you want to call it that, to line up. There, that coalition of nations is right here. And they're bragging about what's happening in America. They're bragging about the riots going on in our streets. They even, in China, good old China, my soul, they even put out a thing saying, I can't breathe, mocking Mr. George Floyd when he was beyond having the life snuffed out of him unjustly so, no doubt about it. But they're also mocking the fact that we got the riots in the street and the bad things that are happening. And while they say America's crumbling, that's what they're saying. And the occasion to our enemies has been exploited all over the place. And China right now has a lot of weapons. They are a powerful nation. But they have their weapons strategically aimed at America, certain targets. And some of the targets they have them aimed at is our ships in the ocean, our aircraft carriers. Do you know that's one of the most powerful weapons we have? Because our planes can come off the deck. So, and most nations do not have that like we had Russia don't. I think Russia has one. We have so many more. And China has their atomic, we'll call them atomic, nuclear weapons aimed at special targets. And every one of our ships has a nuclear weapon aimed at it by China right now. They brag that from their satellites in the sky, they can shoot. I don't know. I do know one day we're going to find out there's going to be a nuclear exchange according to the Word of God. It is going to happen. I'm praying the rapture comes first, but it might not, but I kind of think it will according to the way I studied the Word of God. But I'm saying to you, our nation tonight is being mocked by our enemies, and that's not good, folks. That's not good. China's weapons and all this coalition against us and all this business, but they see us as wounded. Now, we understand what that means. They think we're weaker. They think that now's maybe the time that we cannot defend ourselves as well as other times. And you got all kind of information coming down the pike on that. But I tell you what's worse, we are self-wounded to a great degree. And we put our own selves down. You know, the truth is that we hurt ourselves sometimes from the inside more than we hurt from the enemy on the outside. With the riots we see in the street, I know there's some very legitimate protesting going on, but I also know that it's been hijacked. I know it's being abused and misused and all kind of falsehoods coming out. And I said something about that this morning. We're seeing that sort of stuff. And the sad part is we're down on ourselves. The truth is, we're getting all kind of charges. Many of them are false. We see a seething rage on our streets. That rage didn't start overnight. That's been created and cultured and taught now for a long time in our so-called universities by our communist professors that came in from the inside and has been working on our young people for a long, long time. And now we begin to reap some of that. See that very real as we watch the TV and see what is going on. It's been long taught in our universities. Slavery in our past is being used against us like it happened last week. Right. Yeah. And that's not fair at all. I want to say just a couple of things on that. Let me say this. All black folks in America did not come out of slave families. Many came to America on their own by choice. You understand that? That's very true. They're talking about reparations now. I heard a fellow on TV the other night saying, oh, how come we just can't give a cash payment? To who? To who? And let me ask you this, what would be done with it? Don't get quiet on me, it's the truth. You talk about abuse. Do you ever hear the old statement, easy come, easy go? Idle time is showing what it'll do for us right now. Not only idle time, but money that comes easy and is wasted will not help our nation. We're already printing money that's pretty much worthless now compared to what it used to be. That's the sad truth, folks. And the printing presses, I mean, let's face it, if that's all you got to have money, I'd like to get me a printing press. But you see, I'd get put in jail for it. They'd call it counterfeit or something. But that's exactly what's being printed by the United States right now, is counterfeit money. Not backed up. It's not a silver certificate anymore. It's not backed up by gold anymore. It's backed up by good faith, and good faith is beginning to leak out. Oh, yeah, all right. I have to get off that. Y'all can't handle something a little bit that rich. I understand that. Slavery didn't start in the South in America. Georgia and Florida and South Carolina boys didn't get on a ship and go to Timbuktu and loaded up with slaves. You ever hear of Timbuktu? Timbuktu was a slave center. It's over there in the Arab desert, so to speak, right now. You can go over there tonight. If you can get an airplane, fly over there tonight, you can buy a slave at Timbuktu. The Arabs are still dealing in slaves. You still got auctions going on slaves in Timbuktu right now. See, the world don't talk about that sort of stuff. Slaves were rounded up in the jungle, taken out, sold by their own chieftains to the Arabs, put on ships, taken to England, and then on to America later. And so if you want to go really back to it, now don't get me wrong, I think we should not have been involved in it. But let's remember something. It was widespread because they needed the labor. Now let's run it forward to right now. How about the illegal aliens today? Huh? I mean, why is it nobody wants a wall up? Why is it they don't want the wall built? Why is it they still want the cheap labor? All right, it's the truth. Sometimes we can't handle truth. It's such a stranger in the land. But the truth is, the same motive, and if you get right down to it, there's money behind it. There's a pile of money behind this COVID-19 business. There's a pile of money behind a lot of stuff, and folks are being that there's a credibility gap that far. I mean, a big gap right now in truth today in America. It's sad. And our enemies have got using it as an occasion against us. No doubt about it. But you'd still have slavery going on and selling going on today. But I want to tell you, the greatest slavery is yet ahead. What do you mean? Did you ever hear of the Antichrist? Did you ever hear of the Mark of the Beast? Did you ever hear that you couldn't buy or sell without his mark? Slavery is coming big time. It's closer than you think. Somebody gave me something this morning, Brother Leo Carranzo gave it to me, and I can't take time, and it'd be pretty hard to read. It's high technical stuff. But Bill and Linda Gates, their organization, they're in this business of technology, of course, and dealing with getting everybody vaccinated. Oh, yeah, vaccinated. You see, who in the world could be against being vaccinated? Huh? Is that sort of current where we're at right now? Aren't we just all praying for a vaccine to take care of this COVID-19? I mean, if next week they say, we got it, everybody come and get it, and you say, no, I don't want it, you're going to be the oddball. All this testing business, and a lot of folks testing positive right now. I saw where they tested a dead billy goat, and he tested positive. Close to the billy goat was a watermelon. And they tested the watermelon, it tested positive. I don't know if it's true. I saw that. Somebody showed it to me on their phone. I know I'm a rabble rouser. I just don't go along with the status quo too easy. Holding in my hand right now some papers. The word, if I can say it right, is Luciferase. Lucifer, at the end of it, A-S-E. This is the Bill Gates, Linda Gates organization type thing. This is quantum dot tattoos. And it's got pictures of it. Just to kind of simplify it best I can, it's got little needles that come in a little patch. It don't hurt. You just put it on. And it leaves under your skin a fluorescent light where they can trace whether or not you've been vaccinated or not, even at a good distance. The light is planted there. The needles kind of dissolve. And it fits just perfectly into what we read in Revelation 13 about the mark of the beast. The test is going to be this. They want to trace you. They want to know if you've been vaccinated or if you've taken the mark. Who in the world could be against the mark if it would take care of the virus? Are you following me? Now, these papers are pretty interesting. And it's, you don't see it, but the light under your skin shows up, and by scanners and so forth, even at distance, they can know whether you've been vaccinated or not. Bill Gates says in here that one of the problems is we don't know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't. Now, we know who's wearing a mask and who's not, right? But now they're going to fix it where they know whether you've been vaccinated or not, or marked. Oh, I'm just a rabble rouser. I'm just trying to make some folks think. That's all. That's all. It's a mess, folks. It's a mess. But all this stuff, it's long talk. So America's self-wounded now. We're still suffering from a guilt complex. Now, let me also say this. They thought they would, this same crowd, they've tried to knock America down big time for the last 3 years, for a long time, but especially since the last president swung us back to the right. To godly values. They've been trying to knock him down. He's sort of like that big old aired up doll I saw years ago. You'd punch it and it'd jump back up. I want to tell them America's going to jump back up. I want to tell you America has proved to be stronger here lately than they expected. They didn't expect the good jobs report. They didn't expect the economy to come bouncing back. They thought they had their knee on our neck as a country. But the truth is, we kind of got back up. And they didn't want that. That's why as you read the newspaper today, that's why as you hear the news tonight, every negative thing they can announce, they're going to announce it because they want to keep you down. Just like they kept George Floyd down on that policeman's knee, they want to keep America under their knee and hold us down and control us. And America's proven a little stronger than they thought at this point. See, God still might just be answering some Christians' prayers until we get out of here. Amen? I want to believe that with all my heart. Yeah, often, though, we see this self-wound. We see people like David. David lost his self-esteem. He lost his confidence. He's running. He lets a dog curse him. He never took that before because he thinks, I deserve it. We better get off of that. We better recognize. You say, well, I sinned and I'm guilty and I ought to pay for it. No, Jesus paid for it. And if you've received him as Savior, you need to stand up, throw your chest out, look everybody in the eye and say, I'm saved, I'm born again, and my sins are of the blood, like they were singing a while ago. And bless God, that's who we are. Amen. Not who we were, but who we are now in Jesus. Amen. We need to wake up as Americans. No, we're not whipped yet. We're certainly not whipped yet as a church. The church has taken some blows. Our crowd tonight's not what it would normally be this time of year. It hasn't been for the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. It's okay, we're still here. Amen. We're still getting the gospel preached. We're still getting the job done. And the truth is, the devil thought he was going to knock the churches clean off. Somebody told me tonight several other churches they passed on the way here are open. Amen. Thank God some of them are coming back. Amen. I heard on our news station, radio station, that a lot of people didn't enjoy screening as much as they did being assembled. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. We're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're told to exhort one another. Amen. We need that to keep the flesh beat down and to keep the spirit in the driver's seat. We need fellowship one with another. We need to be in God's house. So I think about this. Watch out for wounding yourself unnecessarily. See, we see this with individuals. You may be here tonight and you say, well, preacher, I just failed. Okay, get up and do it again. Do it better this time. Amen. Stay closer to the Lord this time. Well, I made a mistake. I fell into sin. Yes, but your life's not over. God didn't take you yet. You still got the opportunity to stand up for him, to do something for him. And the sad truth is we got too many folks that have given up on themselves. They've wounded themselves. They've taken themselves out of the battle when they didn't have to. Didn't have to. You may feel condemned by your past, no doubt about it. You got down on yourself. But you know God can even make good out of that. Amen. What does the Bible say? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow. You know God wants you to be real. He wants you to see your faults. He wants you to admit them, confess them to him. But then there's a point after you've given them to him that you get up and go on for him. And the blood of Jesus does wash us, cleanse from all sin. Thank God for that. You're still alive. He's got something for you to do. You'd be a prayer warrior even if your health is bad. There's a lot of things we can still do. We just don't give up and surrender. David had committed a great sin. God had punished him. But God still preserved him and let him finish up his watch, finish up his leadership of the kingdom. Yes, he did. You know, the truth is the Holy Spirit can use you sometime because you are sorry for your failure. You are sorry that you slipped. Maybe God can use you even better because now you're more sensitive to him and a little more insulated about not doing it again. David's sin cost him, cost his family, gave his enemies great occasion against him. Same thing's happening to America. Same thing will happen to you and I. But it was not over with David. It's not over with us. It's not over with our country. It's not over with our church. Let's just don't go around dragging our bottom lip and saying, woe is me. I think about the old story of Martin Luther. He was under great persecution and pressure. We have a lot of differences with him, but he did come out of the Catholic Church, and he did get the truth of justification by faith preached. And done a lot of good. But he was down in the dumps one day. He was dragging his bottom lip. He was moping around. And his wife came out and she was all dressed in funeral clothes. She was dressed all in black, black veil over her face. He said, woman, what in the world? Whose funeral are you going to? She said, God's. He said, what? She said, oh, God's dead. Didn't you know that? You're acting like he's dead, so I thought I'd go to his funeral. Don't you hate it when a wife is right? Amen. She woke him up. No, God wasn't dead. And Martin Luther kind of snapped out of it and got back on the straight and narrow to do the job he was supposed to be doing. And I want to say to you and I, God's not dead. Our country's not dead. Our church is not dead. There's too much out there yet to do. There's more land to conquer for him till he says it's enough till the trumpet sounds. Amen. If you're feeling down tonight, get up. God is not dead. If you've self-wounded yourself, you've fallen on your own sword, so to speak, wake up. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Amen? All right, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, forgive us where we doubt. Forgive us where we whine. Forgive us, Father, forgive us where we just quit sometime. And think it's over. Lord, we recognize there's nothing too hard for you to do and that you've got much left for us to do. Help us as a country. We pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for our leaders. Pray against the anarchy and the evil and the enemy out there that's taking occasion against us. Pray against them, Father. Defeat them, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless in our midst here. The summer's on us, Lord, as a church. We know there's a lot of things different. But Father, you don't want us to quit. There's souls to be saved. There's a job to still be done. And I pray you'd help us and give us a good summer, Father, to keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'd bless the invitation right now. If there's one in our midst unsaved, never received Christ, I pray for them right now. And I pray, Father, if there's some in our midst and say, Preacher, I messed up. I slipped. I fell. I want the Holy Spirit of God, if it be your will, to speak to their heart and say, yes, but there's still some stuff you can do. And even if they're in sorrow, I pray, Father, that you turn that to their repentance and coming back to you. Bless the invitation tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love.
How about you?
Trust him.
God asked you to do something. Maybe you're just feeling a little bit down tonight. You ought to come to the altar and get perked up and say, Lord, it's not over. Not over till you say it's over. Maybe you've been doing something and just quit doing it. Just can't seem to be excited about serving God anymore. Well, he's not dead. The job's not over. Opportunity's still there.
I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me.
Let's bow our heads just a moment. The invitation will be over. If God's asked you to do something tonight, now's the time to do it. If you came in a little bit down, I hope you'll leave a little bit up. Sometimes we get the mentality, we'll just tie a knot in the rope and hold on. No, I think God wants us to charge ahead, not just stop and hold our ground. We got our buses running again. They were off for several weeks, and it's summertime, but there's great opportunity out there. Soul winning surely has not been what it should have been in these dark weeks we've had. But the need is just as great. Fear has, I hope, run its course. The way I read the newspaper and even hear the news, in spite of a far-left crowd wanting to milk this thing through the election, there's a lot of folks waking up and realizing it's a sham to a great degree. a hoax to a great degree. I'm going to just drop this on you. Checking positive don't mean you have the disease. And if you do have it, it may be a very light touch of it. It has been very light for the big percentage of the folks. And the test will show sometime positive because you've got good antibodies. You've already been touched by it. Now you're more immune than ever before. Don't give up to this fear. Fear itself destroys a lot of folks. Yes, somebody with another illness and something else, yes, and a bad case of it is bad, but it's so rare. So rare. And even our county commissioner was arguing in the paper today. He wasn't arguing, he was just stating some facts. He was getting some truth out there. I hope you read some of it today. And I'm wanting to see us come back into the light, get back on track for God, not keep cowering in the dark in fear. Amen. God said to Elijah when he was whining, remember that? He said, I got 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. God said, it's not over yet. I want to say to you, until the trumpet sounds, it's not over yet. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks. All right. I've enjoyed being in the house of God today. Hope you have. Appreciate the missionary family being with us tonight and singing for us. I did notice they didn't let the dad and the preacher sing with them. I don't know what that means. All right, if you can, find them too and let them know we appreciate them stopping by tonight. Amen. All right, God bless you. You're dismissed.